Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it to make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content. And also check us out on any good podcast app. We're available on pretty much all of them, including the iOS podcast app, a great way to support Going In Raw. What?
Hold on. What? Let me interrupt you.
Sure.
J.S. Wooten just says, points out this is the last live stream for 2017, but it's not. It's the last one on YouTube. Don't we have a live stream on Twitch later today? Are we still doing that?
Yeah, are we going to do that on Twitch?
Well, I mean, yes, we usually do.
We're doing the Steven Larson Books Raw on Twitch.
Yeah, later today. After
yeah,
this.
Yeah. So there is one more. But no, that's a good point. It is a good point. I mean, in terms of
this
like
the last Patreon exclusive podcast recording session live stream. This is the last one of 2017.
This is okay. I'll go on further. This is the last podcast we're recording in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
Dirt Sheets already done. Both countouts already done.
Dirt Sheets done. So this is, yeah, this is, in a way, this is our last podcast 2017.
Yeah.
So we'll no, that's a great point, J.S. Wooten. We will review.
Should have brought hats and some noisemakers, no, party favors.
We'll talk about our resolutions. We'll look back on 2017, what we liked, where we want to go in 2018.
I don't really think this is the right outlet for all that.
Really? Why not? It's fine. NXT 205 Live.
We should have done that. Well, there isn't much to talk about in 205 Live this week. It's a pretty slim show.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. Anyways, we're on Patreon. All these lovely 30 patrons here. I confused the crap out of them earlier.
Oh, hold on. Patrick Sparks has a question. When's Matt Chat? Matt Chat's coming back in January.
Yeah, it's coming back soon, like in a week, two weeks, something like that. Yeah, very soon. So, yeah, that's coming back. Bad Wrestling Reset. Look, we're going to talk about all that, okay?
I'm going to keep interrupting you with these patron questions here.
I love
live
it.
Chat.
I love it because it's community. And if you guys want Larson to interrupt me with your concerns about 2018, $5 a month gets you all of our live stream podcasts.
Hold on. Nicholas Grothkurs says, they may remember their predictions for 2017. Wait till Monday.
Yes, Monday.
We
got
go
our
over all that and issue a whole new group of more likely not incorrect predictions for 2018.
Oh, Misfire 2017 leading into Misfire 2018 is fantastic. Yeah, we got our predictions episode coming up on Monday because on Monday we're not going to work.
It's a holiday.
I'm going to be probably driving back from L.A., and then you're going to be just probably recovering from the New Year's festivities.
Well, I'm not going to do much of anything. Hopefully, I'll be golfing this weekend. That's
my
plans.
Nice.
I haven't been golfing in a while.
That'd be nice. I have some golfing clubs out there.
I have a golf club of my own. Thank you very much.
Back in Uniondale, I tell you, I was number one golfer.
What was your handicap?
Oh, easily among the best. You know, really good, great for my age group and weight class.
Do you know what the average handicap for a man is?
Yeah.
What?
Go ahead.
Well, you said you knew.
Well, you were about to say.
No, I was curious if you knew. You seem to know a lot about golf and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So what is it?
Oh, the Uniondale Golf Club? Are you kidding me? Oh, it was the greatest golf club. Best, greatest, no collusion. Anyways. Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Sergio,
I was riling up some people on Twitter the other day because I linked to this. To somebody who did a thread of Nazi punching gifts from 2017. It's like Richard Spencer getting cold cocked. So people were like, Steve, violence isn't the answer. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. What do I know? Anyways, don't take anything I say seriously, people.
One last concern. Oh, Sergio C., when is Going In Raw coming back? Monday, Tuesday, or Super Show Wednesday? You'll be back Tuesday. Regular programming will resume next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Raw recap Tuesday, SmackDown recap Wednesday, Thursday, much like this week, 205 Live NXT, Friday Dirt Sheet. Saturday is going to be rotating, kind of. I think we're going to do two countouts a month.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But look, by March, it'll probably be different.
Yeah,
who knows?
Be different. And then Sunday is going to be Matt Chat every week.
Once we get Office Space, things are going to change quite a bit.
Yeah?
Oh, man, I'm geeked out for the Office Space.
Well, we got to get it first.
Hope it all works out.
I
know. Absolutely.
Right now, my attitude is
Tranquilo
till we actually have Office Space.
Some really great Office Space back in the Uniondale days. And it was right near.
You know, here's the problem with this whole Uniondale stuff, that no one's going to get the Genesis joke until tomorrow.
Genesis. Yeah.
When Dirt Sheet goes up.
The people who really pay attention are going to appreciate it. Because now I'm setting it up for a joke that I've already done. Let's talk about 205 Live.
If we must.
There was some good stuff in 205
Live. Oh, yeah. I thought they actually gave Cedric Alexander a story.
Cedric's a story. He's sort of coming to his own right now. He's sort of like, he's feeling more like he could be actual heir apparent.
Yes.
As opposed to just the guy that they want to be.
My only reservation about it is I wish they had started this, the Cedric Alexander trying to force wedges between members of the Zoe train, I don't know, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful that what's going to transpire on Raw next week isn't, despite the fact that I'm wearing my Cedric Alexander shirt today.
I got my Drew. Oh, hell yeah. I got my Drew Gulak shirt. You got your Cedric Alexander. Wow.
That
thematic
that
today.
He won't win the Cruiserweight title on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, use that as an opportunity to build up Cedric, his character, his story. Mm-hmm. So when he finally wins, probably at the Rumble,
it's
a major moment.
That's what I know. It needs to be a major moment. Here's my only qualm about you saying that I wish they would have done that 4 weeks ago is that it was only 2 weeks ago that we got, I think, an opportunity for this to happen because of the Tony Nese thing. I think that could be used as justification. And I think, it wasn't referenced directly, I don't think, by Cedric Alexander. However,
no, he's appealing to individual members on a personal basis.
Yeah, but you can kind of put the pieces in place, or you can kind of put it together, or if he sees the Zoe train coming apart of the seams, literally Enzo is using one as an example, now might be a good time to pounce, whereas before, it was more kind of like that.
No, I understand. I just tossed 4 weeks out as I wish they would have started this earlier than a week before the match is supposed to happen.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it does, the entire thing, especially given the Rich Swann situation, you know, does feel a bit like an audible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not sure if, I don't know. Like, I felt they were going one way with Drew Gulak with the Tony Nese thing.
Yeah, and they're not going that way.
They're not really going that way. At least they're not really hammering it home. I do believe that whatever happens with that title match coming up on the first, that's going to give us some sort of indication as to where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric's either win that. He's either going to win that thing, or what I think might be more likely, Drew Gulak's going to get involved somehow.
He's going to get screwed out of winning that title.
I think the bigger story is going to end up being Drew Gulak versus Enzo Amore. I mean, Drew Gulak is the most fully formed character next to Enzo Amore on the show. Cedric Alexander. And I think, honestly, not putting the title on Cedric right now would probably be a good idea because you can build him up even more.
Yes.
When he wins the title, they have an opportunity for a big moment. You're
yes.
right about that.
Yes, and they need to take their time with it.
Yeah. So anyways, he was backstage with Cedric Alexander, and he said, Cedric said, "Are you on the phone with your boss?" And he says, "Why would I be on the phone with Sasha Banks?"
Yeah.
Zing.
Yeah. He goes, "No, I'm on the phone with my best friend, Enzo. He's not here. He's at the Madison Square Garden house show. I'm just checking in with him." And Cedric said, essentially, why are you considering me your friend?
Yeah.
Think about how better 205 Live would be without Enzo as champion.
Yeah.
Enzo wouldn't make fun of your PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
And that struck a chord with Drew Gulak.
He said Enzo won't dress you like an elf.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's Christmas time.
Yeah. I think the PowerPoint presentation was a much stronger point.
I mean,
that's what he led with, though, so.
Yeah.
So all good points from Cedric Alexander. Like I said, they're really finally giving him a stronger motivation, a better story.
Well, it's,
and giving him opportunities. Because he's proven in the past that he's good at delivering scripted dialogue. But now that there's actual purpose to what he's saying beyond just giving a generic face promo, I think will give him a real opportunity to show the full breadth of his talents.
It adds confidence to your performance when you're given something to work with.
Yes.
And that's what I see in him, is more confidence in his performance.
Yes.
Next up, we had Hideo Itami versus Jack Gallagher.
I mentioned this on Dirt Sheet tomorrow. When we record it today, you'll see
that
it tomorrow.
That was dope. That was like some time travel speaker.
I know.
Right there.
I know.
I mentioned this on Dirt Sheet tomorrow.
We're just talking about 205 Live now. Jack Gallagher is a really boring heel wrestler.
Yes.
He is.
Yeah, okay.
Like he had these quirks in the ring as a face. He'd tie people up in pretzels, kick them in the rear end.
Yeah, man, it was great.
He'd do some interesting moves. But in general, there was a unique quality about his character in terms of how his character performed in the ring. Now that he's a heel, all that is gone.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's been told to wrestle differently since you're a heel now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they've been so blunt as to say, be a boring wrestler, but it feels that way. Because when Hideo Itami had the advantage of this match, the match was fast-paced. There was some excitement. There was some striking. But when Gallagher had control, it was a lot of rest holds.
Yeah.
And they've touted Gallagher's MMA's bona fides in the past, which I would assume meaning some sort, he would know how to throw a punch, do something more interesting than a headlock. We've seen him do things more interesting than a headlock. Like, why can't he do some Zack Sabre-type, you know, crazy submission move?
Oh, man.
Why can't he? Why won't they let him do that? I'm sure he knows how to do a couple of those. If you know any background wrestling, you'd probably make up something.
I know.
Just let him do something interesting, like what Hideo Itami won the match with.
Yeah.
It's like that weird Rings of Saturn-looking thing. That was awesome. It looked painful, legitimately
yeah, it was
painful.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Why can't Gallagher bust out some moves like that rather than a headlock or an armbar?
Yeah, I know, man, because that'd be exciting, and maybe they don't want the heels to be exciting.
Well, it doesn't be exciting. I mean, Gallagher goes on and on about cruelty. How cruel is a headlock?
I know. When Zack Sabre Jr. wrestles as a heel.
Oh, yeah.
His positions or his submission moves, they feel cruel.
Yeah.
They seem like they're torturous.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's nothing torturous about Jack Gallagher's wrestling style right now.
And he should take great glee out of torturing people.
Yes, but he doesn't.
No, he does not. No, I agree with you. There was also a headlock. There was also a rest hold in this. A very, very extended rest hold.
Yeah.
And it's like, granted, I get that if you're... I would never, if I'm in a crowd... I would never chant, this is awful. I would never do it. I could be at that Christy Jane's Rachel Ellering, you know, botch when it was just they stopped wrestling each other, started yelling at each other. And I still wouldn't chant, this is awful. I would actually start cheering that. I would start saying, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That'd be too awkward to chant anything because everybody would be so
uncomfortable
that you'd be the only person saying something.
I know.
And everybody would look at you.
Yeah, I know.
Like, why are you chanting right now? You're making this more uncomfortable.
Oh, that'd be the biggest icebreaker, though. You know, if you were to say, what is happening?
You're not wrestling.
Stick to the script. Stick to the script. Oh, man. Anyways. There was a long-ass rest hold in this.
Yeah.
This is my thing, man. And how many times did Hideo Itami yell, respect me?
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
It's way too much, man.
Well, here's the thing. Jason Cabby brings this up in a question. In the question thread on Patreon, I'm bringing up now is like, why is his character so convoluted already? Because he's in NXT, it made sense. He was a heel.
Yeah.
He was shouting, respect me, because he didn't think the audience respected him. Makes sense.
Was he supposed to be here? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he was promoted as a face.
Yeah.
Made his debut as a face.
He wrestled a heel here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The commentating team talks about him as if he's a face, but he keeps on yelling, respect me.
Yeah, I know.
Why?
I don't get it, dude. I don't know.
Unless it's just him naturally doing that to an audience that seems to ignore everything that happens in the ring during 205 Live.
Oh, man.
And he's speaking for the entire Cruiserweight division.
That is not a face thing to do, though. Yeah, anytime you argue with the crowd, it's not good.
I know.
No, I agree. I don't get it. He's got, like, mad face all the time, which I like a face that's intense, that's great. But to come out acting like you have a chip on your shoulder. Chip on your shoulder is a heel thing. You can't have a chip on your shoulder.
Well, CM Punk has a face, had a chip on his shoulder for a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I know, but that's kind of different. That's because he's been held down by the man.
I understand. Yeah.
You know, Hideo hasn't been held down by anybody. He just got here.
He's been held down by injury.
Well, I mean, he's held down by the fact that he's in a cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go anywhere. So I don't know, man. My thing is always, look, you're the cruiserweights. Like, remember that stretch where, like, before Rich Swann got in trouble, where we had those tag matches with him and Cedric, and then, Gallagher and then Kendrick?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, fast, fast, fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime Grand Metalik's in a match, you're not going to catch him in a rest hold, and then somebody's going to show me a match where he's got a rest hold. But I don't know. I've been used to matches that have a very quick pace. They seem to have found their rhythm in terms of what they can do within the WWE style. And then this just sort of stopped dead, you know? And I was like, oh, my God, this is actually boring right now.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I know, because, dude, Hideo Itami versus Bobby Roode, Hideo Itami versus Cassius Ohno.
Great match.
Oh, man, they're so much fun to watch.
And Jack Gallagher, when he was getting his face push, was doing some fun stuff.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of fun stuff.
So I'm not going to be saying the blame is on Jack Gallagher, per se, at least not entirely. I'm sure a lot of it is directives he's getting from creative to wrestle a certain way as a heel. And we saw with Neville, when he came out as a heel, upon his return from injury, he completely changed his style.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even then, when he was wrestling a more methodical, deliberate pace, but it was never boring.
Mm-hmm.
but like the last couple of Gallagher matches, solo matches, have been a little bit on the dull side.
Do you think so? Tommy went over, like you said, with like a Rings of Saturn type thing. Didn't use the GTS. Do you think that's because he just destroyed Kendrick's eye?
I hope they wouldn't ban it just because of one.
Yeah, I hope not also. Were they in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
They were in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But he used it the night before.
On Raw, yeah.
In Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably they didn't ban it.
I mean, they showed the replay of Kendrick getting his face messed up.
I'm sure he's done the GTS a million times and everybody's fine, you know?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if someone got hurt from it in the past. Not saying because he's...
Yeah, I know, but like one
I mean, you're bringing a knee up to somebody's face. Yeah, I know. A number of times he's probably hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. He's probably in a handful. Yeah,
right,
I know.
Exactly.
I know what you mean.
So, I don't know. It always bothers
me like,
to do that.
You know, granted, I know Tyson Kidd's injury from the Muscle Buster was really bad.
Mm, no, man. Muscle Busters. Oh, God. So much.
But even after that incident happened, Joe was still using it in NXT.
I know.
He didn't hurt anybody.
That move freaks me out. Certain moves freak me out, man.
I understand pile drivers.
You know what's funny? The pile driver doesn't really freak me out that much.
Well, I know. It doesn't really freak me out either. Because people know, nowadays when I watch, I notice people don't drop directly on someone's head.
They just all slump down. They'll just fall over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it looks great.
And if you're the person receiving it, if you could push your head up enough with your arms
exactly,
on the person's thighs, you can kind of protect your head.
And that's what they all do these days because they're all strong. But no, Muscle Buster kind of freaks me out. Styles Clash still freaks me out.
Yeah, I know.
I still come
moves like that where your fate is entirely another person's hands. I can see that because Muscle Buster, you're all wrapped up. You have no control over how you land.
Yeah, or but also like with the Styles Clash, you're either dead slash paralyzed, or you're totally fine. You know what I mean? That freaks me out too.
Yoshitatsu isn't paralyzed.
Oh man, but dude, oh.
Yeah, no, it's not good. I'm just saying. I know. I understand what you're saying.
I'll never get over James Ellsworth, man.
Oh,
that
I know.
Freaked me out big time.
Oh yeah, I remember I was sitting right here watching it.
Not good.
Not good.
Next, we had a Tony Nese interview where Dasha, who's doing good work these days, asks him, "So, what's your deal? Are you on?" She said, "Zotrain, yay or nay?"
Hold on.
What?
Alex Foster is saying this is Gallagher's very first time being a heel in his entire career.
Is that true?
That's what Alex Foster's saying. So maybe he's just kind of. Working it all out.
Interesting.
Which would explain things.
So yeah, Dasha asked Tony Nese, are you on Zotrain or are you not on Zotrain? And Tony Nese said, look, man, every time I see anybody on a Zotrain, I want to lay them out. At the same time...
On a Zotrain.
On Zotrain. If, at the same time, I understand that Zotrain is path...
Benefited my bottom line.
To money, fame, glory.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then Akira Tozawa comes into frame.
Hi, Tony.
I know.
Love that dude. So he's great.
What did he say?
He said, hi, Tony.
No, after that.
He said.
Well, he pretty much asked him.
He just said the same thing Dash did. Are you on Zotrain or no?
And then Tony Nese just cold cocked him.
He just clocked him. It was great. Hi, Tony. Anyways, I love Akira Tozawa.
Yeah,
he doesn't
great.
Get enough promo time.
I know. He's got so much personality.
He does. I know. Hi, Tony.
Pretty much everybody on 205 Live has tons of personality.
Oh, I know. I love them all.
Anyways, that set up Tony Nese versus Akira Tozawa. Decent enough match. Akira Tozawa, he's a guy that always works a fast pace.
Oh, except Kalisto. I hate him. You hear he...
got legit hurt, right?
That water bottle I threw at him opened him up. Stitches.
Hold on.
Yacht.
I've seen you throw. You don't have that good of an arm.
Oh, man. You've never seen me throw a water bottle before, have you? Then you don't even know. It's
I've
a completely
you throw,
different
I've seen
art.
You throw a softball and a baseball.
I launched that thing, man. Oh, dude. It was like the perfect throw. I was up in the upper deck.
Well, first of all, it wasn't
blindfolded, you dumb
it
sack.
It wasn't the upper
I
deck.
I did it like this. Whack. Anyways, I was actually aiming for Jack Gallagher. Next up, we had Tony Nese versus Akira Tozawa. Fun match. Again, I'm pretty sure there was another rest hold in this that really bugged the crap out of me.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I feel like there was two and two matches. I could be wrong about that. In any event, we did get some fun stuff. We got Akira Tozawa. I'll never not love Akira Tozawa's suicide diver. It's just a headbutt, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fun.
It is. I'm just worried he's going to get hurt someday.
Tony Nese won.
With a running Nese.
The running Nese, which is like the best freaking pun finisher.
It is. It's great.
Ever. See, it's a running knee.
But his last name's Nese.
His last name is Nese.
So we'll call it the running...
Nice. Exactly.
It's sort of like when Daniel Bryan calls him a B-plus player, his finisher was running knee.
Plus.
Knee plus.
I know, I love that. And finally, in our main event, we had Drew Gulak Arya Daivari versus Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali. Of course, they were in Chicago, which is Mustafa Ali's hometown.
Yes.
Cedric and Mustafa both came out with mics, which meant they were going to talk, and talk they did. The crowd gave some Mustafa Ali chants, yep, which was awesome. That was really cool. And Cedric started sowing some seeds in a not too subtle manner of dissent
between Daivari and Gulak.
Yeah, Zotrain.
And Gulak had a new PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, he was going to load up the best of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it got interrupted. By crowd Cedric's was into music, it, though.
I know.
And they need to be really careful about that. If you have Cedric Alexander in sort of a smarky town talk about the PowerPoint presentation in a negative way, the crowd might turn on him. Because the crowd was into the PowerPoint presentation thing. Everybody likes that. They think it's funny. And so if you start running that down...
Yeah, maybe.
You have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
All I'm saying.
Anyway, everybody did good work on the mic. It was all good. It was a fun segment.
It was all good. It was a fun segment.
Match was fun.
Yeah.
Ali got the pin on Daivari after an inverted 450 and 054.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric dropped Daivari with a lumbar check.
Yeah.
Everybody goes home happy.
Yeah, everybody. Exactly. Cool. So let's talk about NXT. This might have been my favorite episode of NXT. My favorite Nigel McGuinness episode of NXT.
Yeah, he was great.
Oh my God, I was dying.
Just everything about Killian Dane during the main event. He's like, he's my pick to win. And halfway through, and he's laid out on the outside. Nope, changed my mind. Lars Sullivan.
No,
and then back to Killian Dane. All that was great.
That was all great. What was great was NWO Bradshaw.
Yes.
He looks like a young JBL there in the corner.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one reference. So that was Street Profits.
That was the opening match.
The opening match took on Chris Starr and Riley Apex.
That's a good name.
It is a great name. I'm not sure which...
I don't know who is who.
I don't know who is who.
But there was a guy, when he came out, he looked like an 80s Hoss / part Mike Awesome.
He's like part Mike Awesome, part Barry Windham, and part JBL.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he comes out, but like Bradshaw JBL. So he comes out, and Nigel McGuinness says, "It looks like a young Bradshaw there in the corner." And I was like, okay, that's a pretty funny reference. But then the rest of the time, he called him JBL.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
It's like equal parts rude and equal parts hilarious. And then in the very end, when Street Profits... Oh, Montez Ford in that.
Oh, that frog splash was gorgeous. Splash.
My God, that guy gets up to the rafters. It's so beautiful. And I can watch their entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, if they had like a two-hour entrance...
Oh, I'd watch it on loop.
Just Montez Ford doing the weird stutter step stuff.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I was kind of disappointed because he didn't get in the ring and do this stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I do like when they get in and they get out and he does this.
Yeah.
Does the flying stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I love those guys so much.
Oh, they're fantastic.
But anyways, he did this amazing frog splash.
On JBL Jr.
And he says, "Frog splash on NWO Bradshaw!" NWO Bradshaw! What the heck?
And so is that NWO Sting reference?
I think, because that's what Matthew from Botchamania, I was looking at my Twitter this morning and he was on it and he said, "I didn't know what he was talking about until I realized that he meant NWO Sting."
That is hilarious.
So he meant fake. So like when you say when you precede NWO and then say somebody's name, it just NWO.
Well, another wrestler's name. Yeah.
Another wrestler's name.
You mean fake.
But then
wrestler.
If I saw it, see, my thing is if I saw a guy out there look like you, I could say, oh, it's NWO Larson, which means it's fake Larson.
Yes,
that's
brilliant. It is.
That's brilliant. Nigel McGuinness,
he's fantastic.
He's the freaking best, man. Oh, he's the best.
He's
good. Literally, like right after that, I started getting on and looking at Nigel McGuinness promos. I'm like, oh my God, how did I miss out on this guy during my mid-aughts?
Yeah.
Anyways, I love the Street Profits.
Street Profits pick up the win, with Ford pinning JBL Jr., or sorry, NWO JBL after the frog splash.
Thank you.
Big up to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Drop a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much saying they're going to rule the tag division in 2018.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
And the other teams.
And there was a bit of a serious...
Yeah, there was.
...flair to it.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool. They both gave, like, serious face.
Yeah. It was good stuff.
Freaking love the Street Profits.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
And the crowd loves them.
Already, I know.
Super into them, man.
I know.
They're so great. My only thing, I want the yellow... I want the ring gear...
To match the shoes.
Where it's black, it needs to be pleather. And when it's gold...
Or it's
in
yellow.
The gold trim or yellow,
it
yeah.
needs to be gold.
Needs to be like gold, like metallic.
Yeah, like the shoes.
Like upgrade a little bit. Oh, I love them so much.
They're fantastic.
Next, you mentioned this off camera, Sonya Deville.
She has really improved a lot.
Right?
As a wrestler.
Absolutely. And it's as if being called to Maine, because we talked about this for a while before she was called up to Maine and they were bringing in Shayna Baszler. we talked about, Sonya Deville, that's going to be kind of tough to be MMA person.
There's going
to
be a lot of crossover in the two gimmicks, you potentially.
MMA person.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is obviously just me projecting. I doubt she ever thought this. But it feels like, since she's been called to Maine, that is, it's given her like a massive boost of confidence. Like, we don't see it on the main roster because they don't like let her get on the mic on the main roster, really. But like the last couple NXT episodes where she's been on, it's like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. Like, she's really come into her own.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's been kind of an overnight thing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you mentioned the new sense of confidence. I think that's a major aspect of it. But also, you know, I think back to the first NXT house show we went to here in Sacramento, and she was in the first match, I think, where it's obvious that she was pretty green in terms of
wrestling. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you compare that to the last couple matches she had, where it's not just confidence, but it's finding a style in the ring that melds pro wrestling plus MMA background.
Yeah.
Feeling confident, delivering it believably.
Because,
like, some of the striking stuff, like that sliding knee she does, it doesn't look like she's pulling any punches there.
I know.
And she, you know, she's found a way to really incorporate her MMA experience into her pro wrestling style, and it's working really well right now.
Yeah. No, and then, and even when she's, so that's totally valid point, and that's a big part of it. When she's on the mic and her promos, there's a sense of like who she is, as opposed to before when, I don't know if she knew or if she had direction or what, but it just seems like there's this massive boost of confidence. Like, hey, I've graduated to the next level. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great to see. For me, it kind of started with her match against Ember Moon and Ruby Riott.
Oh, the triple threat one, yeah.
The triple threat match. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, cool. Wow, that's, you know, she was really, they were giving her a big chunk of character in the ring at that point. Mm-hmm. Everybody was fearing her ankle lock thing. Mm-hmm. And so, I thought it was great. And then, so she had this match against Ember Moon. Thought it was a really good match.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Ember Moon, of course, went over with the Eclipse, as she always does. So I am assuming this is Sonya Deville's send-off to, official send-off.
Yeah, and then things got interesting afterwards. Kairi Sane comes out, points to the belt, makes the motion to say, I want that belt.
Yeah.
Points her elbow at her.
Yeah.
Which means you're going to eat this elbow.
Yeah, no.
Challenging her to the match.
Wrong.
And Ember Moon's like, cool, let's do it. And then from behind,
Shayna Baszler destroys Kairi Sane.
Looks like she legitimately
rips her damn head off.
Choked out Kairi Sane.
Oh, my God.
That elbow was tucked so deep under Kairi's chin.
Dude, she looked like $1 million, too. Leather jacket, business casual.
Yeah.
Aviators.
Jeans, though, right?
Jeans, yeah.
But
I'm sorry,
casual
business
shirt.
Casual shirt.
Yeah.
Leather jacket, jeans.
Yeah.
Oh, she looked tough as nails.
Yeah.
And just the violent nature of that takedown was so perfect.
Yeah.
It was so brutal. My only qualm, I wish Ember Moon would have freaked out a little bit.
I know.
Because there was one part, it was equal parts. I wish she would have freaked out a little bit more, but also I feel like there was some TV direction that was a little bit lacking because she's sort of on the thing and she's holding her title and she started to look at her title with kind of a lack of confidence because like, oh, this is messed up. And as soon as she started to look down, I was like,
cut away, right?
Is that something on her face right there? The camera cut away.
Yeah.
And then when the camera cut back, she had like recovered from it and she was half smiling or whatever.
Yeah, and kind of nodding her head like this.
If she was like, what the, you know,
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Or like start like, look, oh my God, something like that.
Or just did.
That'd be cool. Or she started chanting ECW.
Well, I don't think that'd be.
No, that'd be cool, man.
But why?
She's hardcore. She's hardcore.
Okay, that's a little better.
Yeah, ECW. If somebody's hardcore, you start chanting ECW.
Why can't they be CZW?
Well, they could do that too.
XPW.
That'd be even better. That'd be cool.
What if she started chanting XPW?
I'm in for that. Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be super obscure.
It would be.
That'd be awesome, though. XPW. Anything to show that there was kind of a shift in what I just saw.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree.
Like a freaked outfit, like a shock Steve. Like,
no, so I'm saying she didn't.
Yeah.
Stone Osborne here in chat says, Shayna sunk that rear naked choke in. Perfectly looked real. It did look real.
Yeah, it looked real, man. Can't wait. She's going to be a slam bang champion, man.
Yeah.
Like if they're looking for another like Asuka type, they found it.
Mm-hmm.
Like talk about coming off like you're legit.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. All the money's in that. All the money's in Shayna.
Next, we got a promo from Paul Ellering.
From genteel old Paul Ellering.
I know, but he's got that ominous
Just well, you put the camera down here, and you got a couple of giant beasts behind him.
No, I know.
Some giant turtle men.
No, I know that, but he's kind of got the, I don't know, it's like a, there's a horse, horsiness to his voice.
Nay.
Well, not, I don't mean that kind of horse, Steve.
Mr. Cole. Hello, whale bear.
That does ominous well.
So he was talking crap to Undisputed Era.
Yep.
Right. He says, Mr. It'd be great if he said, because he said, it caught my attention when he said, Mr. Cole, Mr. Fish. It'd be great if he said, Mrs. O'Reilly. Whoa, man. Can't be, you know, it's like a mildly offensive, you know, dig at Kyle O'Reilly. And then you get him saying, why did he call me? Why does he say I'm like, you know.
Yeah, maybe because he hit himself in the head with a chair.
It could be you and your, because that's kind of how I want Paul Ellering to be now. Is like
just to slip in some subtle digs.
You damn kids, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, grouchy old man.
Grouchy old man.
I didn't know if you wanted him to slip in just like kind of subtly some little insults to people.
No, you know what? You know, I want him to be
almost passive aggressive.
I want Undisputed Era to be like Spicoli's.
Okay,
and then he's like a hoop.
The teacher, right?
The teacher.
I can't remember his name.
I forget his name. You know, you could amount to so much if you just stop hanging out with those boys. Yeah, something like that. Mrs. Fish or Mrs. O'Reilly. Why am I the Mrs.?
Oh, man.
Then he's got a complex. Because Paul Ellering called him Miss. Anyways. I don't know. I make myself a little. I love NXT so much.
Oh, that's
man.
Great. Last night was a really NXT. Fun episode. After that, Ember Moon interview. And yeah, she was a little kind of, I don't know, blasé about everything.
Yeah, I know, man. I don't know what to do about Ember Moon. She's got everything it takes, man. She's got the look.
She's great in the ring.
She's great in the ring, and she's really good on the mic. They just still don't know who she is. Mm-hmm. They still have no idea.
Zero.
Man. But, hey, that belt looks like $1 million on her.
It does.
And that Eclipse is the best freaking finisher outside the lumbar check.
It is.
Anyways.
And then the main event.
Oh, my
Fatal
God.
Fatal 4-Way.
Main event.
New number contender for NXT title. Killian Dane versus Johnny Wrestling versus Lars Sullivan versus Aleister Black. Everybody in this match.
Holy crap.
Looked great, wrestled great, had segments where they were given maximum time to shine.
Dude.
Awesome stuff.
This freaking match. Give me a break. This is amazing. Give me a break. Killian Dane, Johnny Gargano, Lars Sullivan, Aleister Black all coming out looking like $1 million.
Yep.
Just, what was this? Damo put, so Lars Sullivan threatening to put Gargano through a table.
He was holding on to the background.
Gargano held on to Undisputed Era's playground set.
Yeah. Kicked Lars Sullivan onto the table. Aleister Black comes in from the side, gives him a knee or a kick.
Mm-hmm.
He's laid out there. Damo comes running off the stage. Gargano has to duck under him, splashes Lars Sullivan through the table.
Got a big laceration on his arm, too.
Yeah, both of them got bloodied up a little
bit.
This next spot might have been my favorite, and I don't know why. So Gargano's setting up Aleister Black for the slingshot spear.
Mm-hmm.
And Aleister Black, I'm watching on my iPad at home.
Yeah.
And Aleister Black delivers a knee to Gargano's head. Right. Yeah. I literally paused it and went, oh.
Yeah.
Because it was vicious.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was great. The storytelling in this is great. They are firing on all cylinders. Yep. Dude, you got to think about, excuse me, how many disparate personalities we have. Sanity and Damo.
Yeah.
Lars Sullivan, who's this weird brawn type guy. Aleister Black, who's like goth striker guy. Johnny Gargano,
who is Mr. Wrestling, essentially.
Mr. Wrestling, little tiny
ultimate
guy.
Ultimate underdog, yeah.
Ultimate underdog, exactly. And then the Undisputed Era. I mean, and they all weave together this story that's so fun, mm-hmm, so entertaining, mm-hmm. Makes all the sense in the world.
It makes everybody look great.
Aleister Black. So Undisputed Era comes in when Aleister Black is on the verge of pinning Lars Sullivan.
Yeah.
They pull him off. He dispatches of O'Reilly
and, O'Reilly
and Fish, and then Adam Cole comes in and ducks a knee strike. So he rams his knee, Aleister Black rams his knee into the ring apron.
And then Adam Cole gives him the last shot.
He gives him the last shot.
Which we haven't seen yet, I don't think.
We saw a really half-assed version of it in one of the, we saw a half-assed version of it. And all three of these guys are all the guys that Aleister Black has already beat in singles competition.
Yeah.
He took care of Fish and O'Reilly first in their debut
debuts,
matches.
Yeah.
He prevented Adam Cole from moving on to the Fatal 4-Way.
Mm-hmm.
Makes total sense. Mm-hmm. And then that left
Gargano.
They put him back in there, I think.
No, Gargano did.
Gargano put him back in there.
And then Damo comes over because Lars Sullivan comes up to him. I think he gets super kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Damo picks him up, tries to powerbomb. Looks like he's a powerbomb against Lars Sullivan against the ring steps. Instead of Gargano does a Hurricane Rana.
Oh, yeah.
Damo into Lars
Sullivan. Into Lars Sullivan. That was beautiful.
And then Gargano does a slingshot DDT on Aleister Black to get the win.
Yeah, picks up the win. Now, the crowd went crazy for that. They popped big time. I mean, I wish I didn't know the spoilers because then I would have popped big, too. One thing I did notice, though, is to emphasize, we always kind of rag on NXT about the sound. They pumped the volume up as soon as that crowd exploded.
Yeah.
I know the crowd exploded anyways, so they probably didn't need to do it, but I noticed a noticeable jump in the volume, like the general volume of NXT when that happened, which I thought was great. I mean, it's you know, it's a great post-production.
I remember reading the spoilers about this before it happened, seeing that Aleister Black didn't win because of Undisputed Era's interference, and I was wondering if they would run into a problem with having Gargano take advantage of other heels' tactics.
Yeah.
And he didn't directly benefit from
it. Right,
he went in, he got his own finisher off, or a finisher off, and got the win himself.
Well, he's and like you said before, he's a massive underdog, so you're taking advantage of all the destruction that's happening around
you.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to make a...
He wasn't stealing anybody's pin.
Not only that, he wasn't directly benefiting from what Undisputed Era did.
Right,
So it wasn't like his victory was tainted by the, you know, like the heels didn't come in and hand him a victory.
Right,
Since he's obviously one of the top faces in NXT.
Yeah.
So I was kind of worried how they would do that. And it was, you know, there was his DDT and pin on Aleister Black was soon enough after Undisputed Era's interference. So it was still, you know, like a protected loss for Aleister Black.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Gargano's victory stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So they managed to get the timing of it all right. So everybody ended up looking good.
So Gargano had two losses against Almas?
Yeah.
It was both of them, wasn't it? Wow. I mean, that's
good storytelling.
That's long-term storytelling.
He's about to have three because Tommaso Ciampa is going to cost him that title.
You think they're going to go that obvious way? Because everybody on Twitter says that.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Because I don't think that, I mean, they could. But it's usually NXT doesn't handle their title this way. They're not huge on transitional champions. So if they put the belt on Almas just to have him drop to Gargano.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of a short range.
Without Almas having doing, you're right.
Having done
nothing
anything
in the meantime. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right about that. It's NXT. I hope that they do it, even if we know what's going to happen. I hope they do it in a way that's interesting and isn't simply him coming out and.
Yeah. Or maybe they could do this. Maybe they do something like Ciampa comes out before the match and just really starts getting in Johnny's head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. So it's not the obvious route where Johnny's on the verge of winning the title and Ciampa comes out of nowhere and you know, hits him with a running knee and Gargano loses.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something a little more deeper than that where Ciampa's really playing like mind games
up to that match. It would be a bit more interesting if it was something along the lines of, you know, he comes out and does commentary or something, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, He doesn't even threaten to get up. It's just his mere presence right there as a reminder. But I don't know. I'm really interested. When's the next set of tapings?
I think the 4th.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Next week is a clip show.
Yeah.
But it's a 2-hour clip show.
I love clip shows.
Are they starting 2018 off with 2-hour NXTs?
I think we probably would have known that by now. That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
I know. Well, if they announce it next week.
Oh, yeah. Hey, this is a 2-hour clip show. That means next week, 2 hours.
I mean, the second, not the first round of tapings in January, but the second round of tapings.
What's that thing that Gargano does that Mauro loves to say? Suicida, what? Planchas? Is it plancha suicida? No. Tope suicida.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that name.
Suicida
means suicide.
On the 4th, that's a Thursday.
Tope means dive.
Yeah, with the head, leading with the head.
Right.
So the 4th, that's a Thursday. So they're going to be taping for the 10th, 17th, and the 24th. And then because of the Saturday after that's takeover, I'm just trying to figure out the math that if they could possibly do, if they tape for 6 hours on the 4th, they could do 3 2-hour episodes. Because then, but they're not going to do it.
6 hours?
But they're not going to do a 2-hour pre-show before takeover.
Yeah, sure.
So much for that idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Man.
Because the next round of tapings is 2 days in early February.
A lot of math you're getting into right here. By the way, 205 Live, number 10.
Notice that 10.
In the latest ratings, 10.
Saw that.
So not as good as the week before.
But it's in the top 10 at least.
It's in the top 10. I'm always happy when they're in the top 10.
Same here.
Yeah. Let's answer some
would
questions.
Would you like to answer some questions?
Mr. Lee, would you like to answer some questions, Mr. Lee?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. I got Gee Willikers.
How can you read that?
I can't. Road more.
All right, ask question.
All right, AO Worm. I have a scenario for you guys for the next takeover. Johnny overcomes the doubt he has and wins the NXT title, but Ciampa comes back and destroys him. Aleister Black goes to war with Undisputed Era, and Cole gives him his first loss. How do you think it'll play out? I'm kind of with you, man. I don't think Johnny's going to win that title because of Ciampa. Because you're right. He almost can't have a zero successful title defenses. That'd be kind of wonky.
Well, he had one. He beat... was his match against Fabian Aichner
that
a title match?
That wasn't a title match, no.
Okay. Well, never mind then. Yeah,
one
he needs to have
Aichner? Give
he
me
needs
a break.
To have a successful title defense.
Yeah,
agreed.
Man.
I really hope this Aleister Black-Adam Cole feud is protracted.
Okay.
And gives everybody an opportunity to really develop their characters.
Mm-hmm.
Trade wins.
That'd be good.
Because Adam Cole needs a quality win.
Yeah.
A signature win.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he does. People need to start taking him seriously.
Yep.
You know, even if that means he gets some help from Mr. Fish and Miss O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he has to be one to deliver the last shot and get that pin.
I love the last shot, man. It's so brutal.
Tokyo Dome Haze, Power Rank. 5 WWE theme songs to work out to. Number 1, Tony Nese.
Oh, that's a good... You know what? That would be a better one if they didn't immediately transition to... The, but like the opening bit?
Yeah.
Oh, if I could just have that on a loop, I'd be totally happy.
Okay.
Aleister Black. I've literally worked out to his, and it's amazing. Mm. It's fantastic.
Good. Good choice. Bobby Roode.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's very inspirational.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
It's a great theme. Original NWO.
Yes.
And Chris Jericho's Break the Walls Down.
Yes. Good answers all.
You know I got you. Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster. Who on the NXT roster do you see not making it to Maine? He says, I can't see Birch and Oney getting to Maine as a tag team. Stevie Bradley here responds with, No way, Jose.
We haven't seen No Way Jose in a while.
No way, man. Who do you not see making it to Maine? Man, they better... I don't know, but they better put freaking Ono on Maine at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Give me a break.
He's so fun to watch.
He's amazing. Better put him up there. Yeah, I see the point about No Way Jose, although he's got such a great package.
I know.
He's got great packaging.
He's got, he's got a great personality. Yeah. Like, his character is fun.
Yeah.
His in-ring skills are just kind of all right.
I mean, they are what they are.
But in terms of character and personality, he's top-notch.
I mean, look at a similar guy. Look at Elias. Look at how far he's come on main roster,
true.
You know?
Yeah, he's you know, surpassed the ceiling on main.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, by whatever he thought it might have been after he got called up from NXT.
Absolutely.
Stevie Bradley did the right guy with the number one contenders match on NXT.
Absolutely, man. Are you kidding
me? Especially if Ciampa's ready to come back, then definitely.
Because everybody figured it'd be Aleister Black, you know?
Yeah, the longer
When do you think Aleister Black's going to main? It's got to be sooner than later. It's got to be in the post-mania.
I don't know. It depends if they see him as an heir apparent to Finn Balor in NXT. Or if...
I don't get that feeling. I don't think we're at a
right now
NXT is beyond having the one central guy.
No, I understand that. Like, the brand itself is successful
and
prominent.
The depth, yeah.
Yeah. But then I don't want it to feel like it's just a rotating cast of people that used to be in Ring of Honor.
I'll put it this way.
Which is very much in danger of being that. If there isn't somebody, I know Aleister Black wrestled in the indies all over the world before this, but he, you know, as far as I know, never in Ring of Honor or anything like that. So it'd be nice to have someone that is really good, had a successful run in the independents, but isn't as perhaps well known to people as like Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Adam Cole stayed in NXT for 2 years and was champ for a year and a half, that'd be great, but it would just feel like, okay, NXT is literally just WWE's version of Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Between him and then having Redragon.
Dude, here's my thing about all of it. I honestly think that Shayna Baszler is going to end up being their central figure. I think they're trying to build that women's division up so that... Because during Asuka's 500 million day run,
mm-hmm.
it was a succession of like Finn, Shinsuke, Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe's in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there was always like the lead, sort of the lead male figure. And I wonder if that was always their thing to push. But because of like, you know, I mean, there's the obvious parallels with Ronda Rousey because they're friends.
Yeah.
I wonder if they see Shayna Baszler as like, okay, this is somebody we can push as the face of NXT, which will allow us to have more depth, more like we don't have to worry about one central male figure to carry the brand in terms of your central publicity face.
Yeah, it could be.
I think that could be Shayna Baszler.
That could be.
Man, that freaking debut was something else.
Yeah, that was cool. Broken Steve, hey friend knows, why or why do they have Aleister Black eat that pin? It's going to happen eventually. Just get out of the way.
Oh, man, get it out of the way.
And it builds to a story between him and Undisputed Era.
That don't hurt him at all.
No, I think you got to approach. You can have dominant wrestlers and dominant champions, but it gets kind of predictable when they just never lose.
Oh, I know. It only works.
And it was a protected enough loss. It doesn't make him look bad.
Yeah.
His performance in that match before that was outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. Whoa, what?
What?
Joshua the Dynamic Knight Martinez. I know it's not NXT 205 Live related, but did you guys see that after a match at a live event, Ty Dillinger attacked Sin Cara?
Oh, no.
A heel Ty Dillinger?
Okay, I'll get on board with that. No, I'll try it.
No way.
If it gives more TV time.
Not unless he went full, what's the dude from Flash Gordon?
Oh, Ming the Merciless.
Not unless he like had the makeup and everything.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah. You have to wear that vest all the time.
Ty the Merciless.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, this is an interesting question. Tommy T. Hey, friend. So I know you guys love NXT and like to project that everyone is happy there. But when you guys interviewed AJ, he seemed glad to skip it and didn't want to go to NXT. So my question is, who are three people outside of WWE that you think wouldn't be interested in going to NXT at all, and three people in NXT that you believe aren't satisfied with being there? Kenny Omega says he has no interest in going to NXT.
Yeah, okay.
If he's going to WWE, he wants to go straight to me.
Yeah, I would say the top.
I think it'd be Kenny and the Young Bucks.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. I would even say if they ever entertain the idea of going to WWE, the top three guys, you know, Naito, Okada, Omega, none of them are going to go through NXT.
No.
Nobody would want to see that.
No.
I mean, I know Shinsuke did, but it's a different landscape now.
Three people in NXT that shouldn't be there.
You know.
Is that what the question was? Aren't satisfied with being there.
You know who else I could see in skipping NXT? Because he's been around so long, and he has such an established freaking character. Maybe. Dalton Castle. He's such a great character that's already packaged.
The thing is, though, I feel like his character would work a lot better in NXT than it would in Main.
It might be like a Mike Kanellis thing. Yeah, no, I get you. So,
I'm trying to think of people who might not be satisfied in NXT.
Oh, who might not be satisfied in NXT? Oh, I don't know.
Oney Lorcan. He's been there for a while. Although he seems like he's having plenty of fun.
Everybody seems like they're having fun there. I mean, I think there might be people. So like Abby Laith, for example, I think it's her. I think she's been signed with NXT for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
And like they don't do anything with her.
I know.
I think there's people who have been there. Who have been there for a little while and are probably like, man, is this going to happen or is it not going to happen? You know? But I can't really think off the top of my head. I mean, it's getting there for No Way Jose.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been on. When the last time he was on
TV? I don't even remember the last time he was on TV.
I think he got beat by Lars Sullivan. Yeah.
Yeah. That was around TakeOver, not War Games, one before that.
Brooklyn. But I'm sure he works every live event that they have. You know? So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not sure how happy Hideo Itami was.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how happy he is now.
Yeah, I don't know either. CM Punk finds it insulting. Power rank ways Vince McMahon could ruin the four guys in the Fatal 4-Way match on the main roster. So how can he ruin, what we said before, to ruin Aleister Black, put him in some goofy backstage segment.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Johnny Gargano, just have him lose all the time. Make him the new Sami Zayn, essentially.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, because at least Sami Zayn has like an outgoing personality. I'm sure Gargano is an awesome personality, but like we haven't really seen that aspect of him.
Lars Sullivan, he pushes him just simply as a destructive monster without really giving him any personality.
What if he brought Lars Sullivan up in the same way they had Dan Matha debut on NXT.
There you go.
Like, they push him as like this huge next thing.
And Braun destroys him, and then that's it. It's the last we see him.
Exactly.
Damo.
Make him like a big cuddly bear guy.
Yeah.
You know, like a big, oh, I'm just a big softy.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder, so Sandy's getting their tag title rematch in 2 weeks. Yeah. They advertised.
Yeah.
Do you think they're
heading out?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the bigger question is, do you think that, are we going to have, just, we saw it post Survivor Series, kind of, with Absolution.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it post SummerSlam for sure, and obviously post Mania. This is the other big four pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Are we going to get call-ups after the Rumble?
Maybe. It'd be interesting to see who, if anybody from NXT shows up at the Rumble.
Yeah.
And whether they stick around or not.
Man, who's going to be in the Rumble? It's got to be somebody. Who, Ty last year was in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't really have his full-time call-up till after Mania.
Right, exactly. So we could see somebody and then go back. I wonder who it would be. I wonder if they gauge reaction on Aleister Black at this point.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I don't know that he needs to win the NXT title. Maybe they want him to do that. Yeah. I don't know.
Like I said, it depends if they want to be a foundational piece or just want to
prime
him for
because
something
God
on Main.
He can go to Main at any time be massive.
Yeah, he's so good.
God, and it better be Raw, too.
I know.
It needs to be Raw.
And well, I think what we saw from the four-way last night was that he's, I think they built him at 215 now. So he's, in terms of being a heavyweight wrestler, he's not the largest.
Yeah.
But dang, he can hold his own against anybody.
Dude, I know. I never once thought,
how fast he is.
I know. And I never thought, oh man, he's so small against like Damo or Lars Sullivan.
I know.
You know, he looked like he was on par with them. He projects tall. That's the thing. He's kind of lanky.
Yeah.
He kind of projects tall.
Yeah. But when he delivered that black mass to Lars Sullivan, if he'd pinned Lars Sullivan right there, it's like, all right, totally believable.
Oh, I know. Totally.
Totally
absolutely.
Believable.
Yeah. Man, I love Aleister Black.
Yeah, he's really good.
So good.
People do we want to do? You said you want to do New Year's resolutions or something today?
Oh man, it's the last podcast of the year.
Well, you know what my New Year's resolution is: Finn Balor body, end of 2018.
Oh, I don't care about your damn body. You need to eat a lot more protein if you're going to get there.
Would you like some broad bean crisps?
No, I don't want.
They got
that.
Protein.
Don't eat that on air.
No, I'm not going to. They're kind of tough, so they make a lot of noise.
We kind of did our sentimental sign off before Christmas, where we're like, "Well, it's been a good year." Blah blah blah. So we're going to get this office space, right?
Ideally.
Going to get that figured out?
Yeah.
So I think Thayer Thabata earlier in chat said, is Road to Office Space similar to Road to Spotify?
I hope not.
Maybe.
I hope the whole Road to Office Space comes to fruition.
Could be. We have a place that we love. We just got to get internet figured out there.
Yeah.
So there's that. I want more collaborations in the new year.
Yeah.
Get some people on the phone. Get some wrestlers on Skype.
A lot of that's tied to having office space, though, too.
Yeah, I know. Say, hey, come on down.
That really is the catalyst for a lot of potential change next
year. See a lot of Hilton in 2018. I know you're not happy with that because...
Why would I be unhappy about it? I like Hilton. I've known Hilton longer than you.
I know. Maybe that's why you hate him so much.
I remember
being at a party once.
I don't remember this. You swear I wanted to murder him that day, and I don't remember it.
Maybe you guys are just both drunk.
Probably.
And then, man, I've never seen you so upset. Yeah, you wanted to murder him.
Stone Osborne here asks, is Larson Balor stronger than Gray Balor?
No, man. Larson Balor is like...
Let's wait till the end of 2018.
He's a couple notches below Pumpkin Balor.
Let's wait till the end of 2018.
What's the worst Balor? Pumpkin Balor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like...
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that now.
Way sub Pumpkin Balor.
So let's wait till the end of 2018 and we'll reassess the Balor rankings.
Pumpkin Balor.
I aim...
Here it is.
I aim somewhere between Red Balor and Man Balor. If I can accomplish that, I'll be very happy.
No. Listen, it's Pumpkin Balor.
You don't think I'd be higher in Red Balor?
No. Pumpkin Balor and then is like Homeless Balor and then is like Scat Play Balor.
Where does torn up shoulder Balor lie on the power rankings? I'm guessing still above me, right?
Way above you.
All right.
Yeah.
Fine.
And then is like a bloated, just like
constipated Balor.
Like constipated Balor. Like can't drop a crap Balor. Then is like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of Balors to go through now.
Yeah.
And then is you. But maybe you can work your way up to like just above Homeless Balor. I don't know. Maybe just below Pumpkin Balor. I don't know. I wish you luck, though, man. I'm going to work on my Cassius Ohno body.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I'm going to do because I can just bulk up and not do anything.
You need to go get a bunch of basketball jerseys, though.
Yeah, I know. But it's like a size too small.
Barely fit.
Oh, anyways.
I'll go on eBay and find a bunch of old basketball
jerseys. Hey, you know what? You know what, though? terms of 2017, even with the adpocalypse.
Steve here.
Even with the adpocalypse, the YouTube business, this is literally the first year that we accomplished at least one goal of mine personally anyways.
Being independent.
Not to rely on any other, and nobody else. So even towards the tail end of 2016, we're still doing some freelance work for our former employer, Machinima.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped doing that. And that, what are you looking at?
You got an email, man. Carry on.
Oh, that's a cool. I like, look at how subversive cool. that is.
It is.
It's American flag, but it's upside down. Great. 2018. It's going to be a good year, man, or it's going to be a crap year. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, who knows?
But, you know, hopefully you guys will stay tuned with us.
Yes, please.
Anyways, that's it. Hilton, can we get some music? Thank you, Hilton. That's it for now. Of course, we'll be back with Dirt Sheet tomorrow, which we've already filmed.
Yep.
Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.